And greetings in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. This is Grace Reformed Baptist Church in Placerville, California, and we welcome you to our morning worship. The call to worship this morning comes from the Book of Psalms and Psalm 117 and verse 1. Let us hear God's word. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. Amen. And thus far, God's word. We're now going to sing the hymn, From All That Dwell Below the Skies. Let us sing to God's praise. Let us all come to God's throne of grace. Let us all pray. Almighty and eternal God, we come before you again this morning to praise your great and mighty name. We come to heed the exhortation of Holy Scripture, that we might praise the Lord, even all the nations of the earth, that we might extol you and your great name, even all the peoples on the face of the earth. And so it is, O Lord, we come to praise you as God, the great creator of all things. We come to praise you as God, the great sustainer of all things, the God of your sovereign and mighty providence. And supremely, we come to praise you as God, the great saviour, the great redeemer of your people. Indeed, O Lord, we would desire and that we would join in that the redeemer's name be sung through every land by every tongue. Our Father, we do acknowledge that your grace and mercy is renewed to us each and every day. Eternal are your mercies, Lord. Eternal truth attends your word. You are faithful to all of your great and precious promises to your people. And so it is, O Lord, we seek to come and bow down and worship you this morning and give you that which is your due, the praise and honour and glory that belongs to you alone. As we do so, we then come with our confession of sin to acknowledge that though you are great and mighty and powerful, resplendent in all of your glory, that you are holy beyond our comprehension, we are those who are sinners by nature before you. And so it is we come again to confess our sins of word and thought and deed, sins of this very day since we have awoken from sleep. We acknowledge, O Lord, by way of commission and omission, we have sinned in word and thought and deed, and so we ask that you would have mercy upon us, that you would treat us not as those sins truly deserve, but in accordance with that abundant grace that is always towards your people, in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. Forgive for his sake, we pray, and grant that we might be welcomed into your presence this morning, even robed in the righteousness of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And then, our Father, we do come with our prayers of thanksgiving. We thank you again for providing for all of our temporal needs. We thank you for food upon our tables, for clean water to drink, the shelter of our homes in the hot summer season. We thank you for the relative peace and security that we enjoy. We thank you for the love of our families. For these and many more good temporal gifts, O Lord, we give you thanks and acknowledge that again, O Lord, in this past week, as you have done throughout all of our lives, you have provided bounteously for us. We thank you for our spiritual benefits and blessings. We thank you again for persevering grace in times of difficulty and trial and trouble. We thank you, O Lord, that you have never left us nor forsaken us. We thank you that your grace has enabled us to persevere even in the way eternal. And then, our Father, we do come with our prayers of intercession. We come again to pray for this world in all of its need. We do remember again, O Lord, those parts and places where there is turmoil and strife and upheaval. We remember, O Lord, the many places that are still ravaged by the coronavirus. But we would remember other situations as well, as often these things have been pushed from the front pages in recent weeks and even months. We remember those places where people have great suffering by way of violence, of unjust causes, O Lord, bringing them into trouble, and even where there is great loss of life. Lord, have mercy, we pray. And we ask that even in these difficult situations, that you would be pleased to send the gospel of your peace, that it might turn men, women, boys and girls, even from the highest in nations, even to the very lowest, that might turn them from themselves and bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, then we pray for our own nation in all of the troubles we find ourselves in. Again, we pray for all those states and cities and communities where the virus is ravaging. And we remember the increase of cases and hospitalizations and deaths. Lord, have mercy. Comfort those who are bereaved, we pray. Remember those who are suffering. Grant, O Lord, peace and comfort to those who are fearful. We remember those on the front lines, O Lord, and particularly those in our healthcare organisations, doctors and nurses and support staff. We commend again each one to you as they go to their places of work day by day. Father, then we pray for our nation and for our leaders. We pray for our president, his administration. We pray for our Congress. We pray for our Supreme Court. We pray for every branch, every level of government. We pray for our governors. We pray for county supervisors. We pray for legislatures and courts. We pray for the mayors of our cities and towns. Lord, for each and every one, we pray that you would have mercy upon them and on those that advise them. Lord, these are difficult days where there are many clamoring voices and opinions. Bicker back and forth with regard to specific policies of how to address various problems that we face. Lord, have mercy upon us, and grant that men and women might not simply think themselves sufficient to these problems, but rather we pray that you would humble us, even by them in your sovereign providence, and grant that we might turn to yourself and seek that wisdom that only can come from above. We pray for our nation even in election seasons. Lord, for those that would desire office, Lord, whether they be incumbents or whether they be those who seek to be elected into those offices, Lord, we pray that you would have mercy and grant that each one desiring so to serve might do so, recognizing that they have authority only as it is derived from you, the great God of heaven and earth, and that they serve to serve their various countries and states and communities. Have mercy upon them to this end, we pray. And then, our Father, we do pray for ourselves as a congregation. Again, we commit to you our various needs. We remember those who are sick, those who are unable to gather together in the building this morning. We pray that you would have mercy upon them. You know them, O Lord, whether they're kept by mercy, necessity, sickness, or other circumstances unknown to us. Lord, we commend each one to you. Father, we ask that you would see us in all of our needs, even as, Lord, not even our thoughts are hidden from you. You know them even before we perceive them. We pray that you would see us in all of our great need, and that you would answer our prayers and grant us the great abundance of your grace, even as we ask all of these things, together with the forgiveness of our sins, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Consecutive reading of God's Word, we turn again in the New Testament to the book of 1 Peter and chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, commencing to read at verse 13 and reading through verse 22. 1 Peter 3 and reading verses 13 through 22. Please give your careful attention as we read God's word. 1 Peter 3 at verse 13. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honour Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that, when you are slandered, those who revile your good behaviour in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. Amen. And thus far the reading of God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. And now, before we come to the preaching of God's word, let us again seek his help in prayer. Let us all pray. Our Father in heaven, again we seek your help, that you would send your Spirit as we would hear your proclaimed word. Deliver us from all distractions, we pray. Open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears. Grant, O Lord, hearts and wills to hear and heed your holy word. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. And now please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms and Psalm number 57. Psalm 57, to the choir master, according to Do Not Destroy, a miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Psalm 57, and commencing to read at verse 1. Again, please give your careful attention as we read God's word. Psalm 57, at verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge, till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Amen. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Amen. Seeking God for deliverance from evil foes is a recurring activity in the Christian life. We see this specifically in Book 2 of the Psalter, where many of the Psalms of David share a common theme of prayer for deliverance from wicked oppressors. We see this again this morning here in Psalm 57, where the focus is not merely that God would save David, but that God's glory would be exalted in rescuing him from his afflictions. The title or superscription to Psalm 57 informs us that David wrote this psalm after fleeing from Saul in the cave. The caves often provided David with physical safety at this time, but they also symbolized that safety that he ultimately found in the Lord. So what do we find here in Psalm 57 this morning? We find this. Here David continues to be threatened by ruthless enemies, yet his heart is steadfast in a sure hope of salvation. We're going to think about four things this morning. First of all, assured prayer. Secondly, a steadfast heart. Thirdly, a grateful plea. And then lastly, glorious exaltation. So first of all then, assured prayer, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 57 can be divided into two sections, both of which conclude with a refrain or a chorus, we might say, calling for God's glory. The first section here contains the prayer of a confident faith in verses 1 through 4. David begins with a plea for God's mercy in deliverance. Verse 1a. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. Note here the contrast with the opening words of the previous psalm that we considered last Lord's Day morning. Psalm 56 at verse 1. Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. David has learned from the lesson of Psalm 56, from its recurring refrain. He's learned that lesson of, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh or what can man do to me? Psalm 56, verses 4 and 11. And so here in Psalm 57, his mind is no longer fixed on man's violence, as it was so much in the previous psalm, but here on God's great salvation. Hence David shows us here where to find comfort in our afflictions. It is in God. In God I trust, to use the language of Psalm 56. And here in Psalm 57, in you, O Lord, my soul takes refuge. David here uses the picture of sheltering beneath the shadow of your wings. Verse 1b. The Lord Jesus himself used this same imagery. Luke 13 at verse 34. Our Lord says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. In the picture of the sheltering wings, not only are the chicks kept safe, but they are comforted by the reassuring presence of the mother bird. And so similarly here, God calls believers to take shelter in him. turning our minds away from the dangers and troubles and turning them to the glory of who God is. And because of that, he ensures the salvation of those who trust in him. Thus it is that Christians, believers, receive great peace even in the midst of their trials and difficulties, when they realize that the wings of divine protection rest over God's people. Is that not a great encouragement this morning? In the midst of all of our troubles and difficulties, whether it be in the midst of the coronavirus, whether it be in the midst of turmoil in our communities, whether it be in the midst of the turmoil of differing policies and clamoring voices of what to do about these things, we can yet have peace because we shelter beneath the wings of the divine God of heaven, and we rest in who he is and what he has done. Well, then David continues here, verse 2, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He acknowledges here that God Most High, the one who rules heaven and earth, is able to do whatever is needed for David's good. He then specifies what this is at this time in his life. Psalm 57, verse 3, he will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. As one of the commentators puts it, the Lord of heaven combines almighty power with covenant love and faithfulness, so that all who look to him will be upheld in the day of trouble. End quote. And so David concludes this first section of Psalm 57 by contrasting the violence directed against him by his enemies with the peace that he has found in God. Verse 4. He was indeed surrounded by men who prowled like lions, who menaced him like fire-breathing monsters, and whose words slandered him and plotted his murder. Yet David states that even in the midst of a society that exults in evil, he is able to lie down in peace. How is that so? Well, the answer here is that David knows himself to be in safe hands. He is safe in the hands of a loving, faithful, and mighty God. One of the commentators puts it like this, David is like a chick sheltered in the feathers of omnipotent wings. End quote. And so we too, like David, may be confident of the same God's deliverance, trusting his steadfast love and faithfulness to save all who call on his mercy. Let me ask you this morning, how are you sleeping? Are you able, even in the midst of great troubles and difficulties, living through times which none of us have ever yet passed through, difficult times, strange times, are you yet in the shadow of the Almighty's wings able to sleep in peace at night? David could do so, and so might we, brethren, even this morning. Well, that brings us in the second place to a steadfast heart, verse 6 and verse 7a. The second half of the psalm explains the reason for David's great peace. It also explains the settling of David's heart steadfastly in God, and it shows how that desire was created within him that God should receive all the glory. In verse 4, David speaks of lying down peaceably among lions and fiery beasts. In verse 6, he explains that this peace comes from knowing that the wicked will ultimately do him no harm, but ultimately will harm their very selves. An example of that is, of course, Saul himself, who was pursuing David at the cave of En-Gedi. King Saul literally fell into his own trap, as we read in 1 Samuel 24 and verses 1 through 22. This reminds us all this morning how dangerous it is to pit our wills against the Most High God. What a foolish thing that is to do. Since all of this world, all of created reality, is ruled by the righteous, holy God of heaven, those who plot evil will harm only themselves in the end. This shows us why Christians will not be overthrown ultimately. They will not be at the mercy of their enemies. They will be protected and saved by the great God of heaven. And therefore, this shows us why Christians should not be overthrown by fear of the wicked. Armed with this insight regarding the end of those evildoers, David here explains the strength he has gained in the refuge of which he spoke in the first section of this psalm. He says, verse 7, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast." Again, we see here the importance of repetition in Hebrew poetry. It underlines, it highlights the truth of what David says here. This great exclamation, his heart is steadfast as he trusts in the Lord his God. And so with these words, David states that the truths of God in his mind have given him control, have enabled him to triumph over the turbulent emotions of his heart. Now, so often in days of difficulty and trouble, it is our emotions that control us. Here David shows us that as he reflects upon the truth as God has revealed it of who he is and what he's done, it is the truth of those words in his mind that give him control over his emotions. Hiding in God and seeing the greatness of God's love and faithfulness, David knows that the calamity unfolding around him is not going to result in his end, in his death. One of the commentators puts it like this. He says, quote, "His, that is David's, hands are no longer shaking, but are lifted up in thankful praise. His lips are not stammering in fear, but bear witness to God's mercy. David is not merely hiding in a cave, but hiding in God. And his steadfast heart is triumphant over the storm that rages outside." End quote. And so the key to enduring the trials of life is to be steadfast in faith as we seek refuge in God. This is why Christians need to grow in maturity and stability. Believers need to know what they believe and why they believe it. They need to know who is God and what he has done in his great and mighty works. They need to know how we as Christians benefit from those great and mighty works. Our stability in the midst of trials depends on our grasp of the truth of sound doctrine of the Word of God. What keeps us stable in these days when so much swirls around us? How is it we're not blown this way and that by every wind of different doctrine? How is it we don't find ourselves in turmoil emotionally in our hearts when we look at everything that's going on around us? Why are we not cowering in fear? Why is it that we can still lie down at night and sleep in peace? It is because we know who God is, what he has done. There is a steadfastness of heart, a maturity and stability in the truth of God's word. One of the commentators puts it like this, quote, "One of the darkest signs in some professors of religion is want of stability. Their hearts are not fixed. Their principles are not established. They are not settled. This may be owing to ignorance of scripture doctrine, to natural levity of mind, to evil habits long indulged, to the weakness or want of grace. In every case, instability is a bad sign." End quote. And so here Psalm 57 shows us the benefits of a life saturated in Holy Scripture. it brings the benefit of spiritual stability. Let me ask you this morning, is your heart steadfast, settled in the Lord? Is your life grounded by conviction of the truth of Holy Scripture, anchored by the principles and by the teaching of God's word? Or are you just performing a religious practice this morning, going through the motions, going through the routine, but find that it gives no strength, no stability to your life? If your heart is not steadfast, then the warning Jesus gave about the foolish man who heard but did not heed his teaching applies sadly to you this morning. After that man had built his house on the sand, Jesus says, the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Matthew 7 and verses 26 and 27. We need to be steadfast of heart. And how might we be that? Through stability in the word of God. And so both in Psalm 57 and in the teaching of the Lord Jesus, the steadfastness of our hearts is tested and revealed by our response to trials. It was only when the storm came that the house built upon the sand fell. And so we see the steadfast or otherwise of our hearts is tested and revealed when trials come, and our response is made apparent. Let me ask you this morning, how will you react when the difficulties of life come? When the markets crash and wipe away your wealth? When the doctor perhaps gives you a diagnosis of some life-threatening illness? We think about that much, don't we, perhaps in these days? For those perhaps who get the call and say they have been contact traced with the COVID-19 virus. Or perhaps when you yourself have to go for a test and it comes back positive. And you don't just have mild symptoms, you find yourself growing sick, as some at least have done. But when the news is filled day after day with unrest and turmoil that seems to endanger our very society, how will you react? How will you respond? Jesus said that only the one who builds his house on the rock of his word will endure such storms. The rains fell again, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat on that house, the one now built upon the rock, but it did not fall, Jesus says, because it had been founded on the rock. Matthew 7 at verse 25. Let me ask again this morning, is your life built on the rock of the truth of Holy Scripture? And as it is, are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the rock and the one in whom we can only ever have stability, both for this life and the life to come? Well, that brings us in the third place to a grateful plea, verses 7b through 10. A grateful plea. David here is hiding in the Lord, steadfast in faith, beneath the shelter of the Lord's wings. He desires, therefore, not merely safety for himself, though he is granted that, but more importantly, that his deliverance would bring glory to God. First of all, we see here that David wants his own life to give praise to the Lord, verses 7b and 8. Along with his tongue, David summons all of his other talents, all that he is, in body and soul, to bring glory to God. And Christians today should do the same. That is what we're about right now in our corporate worship, to summon all that we are, and with God's help and by his grace, that in our act of worship we bring glory to him. The proof here of David's steadfast heart is the thankful spirit that resolves to praise God. How will you know when your heart is steadfast in the Lord? Psalm 57 answers that question. that the steadfast believer is thankful to God for all his blessings, even in the midst of the life, the storms of this life. But that chiefly, even in the midst of the greatest of troubles, we desire God's glory in all things, even if that means we have to continue and endure through difficulties. If instead your heart is overthrown by troubles, so that you complain and grow despondent, this suggests that you need to seek shelter in the grace and truth of God again, to have your heart made steadfast, to vigorously lay hold of God and his word, so that again the stability of your heart in Christ may then result in glory being brought to God in your thanksgiving. How many Christians in these days are seemingly just running here and there, thinking that life is just crashing all around them, fearful for what will happen? Yes, there are difficulties. But in the midst of that, our hearts can be steadfast, and being steadfast in God and his word, we can be thankful and bring glory to God even in the midst of these things. The right Christian response is not a complaint, and not of to despair, but rather to glorify God, even in the midst of this, with thanksgiving. Secondly, here, David desires for God's glory to be brought, not only from his own life personally, but for God's glory to be exalted among all the nations, verse 9. Paul cites this text, Psalm 57, verse 9, in his letter to the Romans, Romans 15, verses 7 and 8. There he asserts that Christ took the gospel to the Gentiles to fulfill this Old Testament longing for God's worldwide glory. One of the commentators puts it this way, he says, where does the Old Testament express such a missionary zeal for the spread of the gospel? Paul answered by pointing to the Psalms, where David pleaded for God to be praised not only in the cave where he was hiding, or even in all Israel, but throughout the world, end quote. This desire for God's universal praise reached beyond David's own life, extending ultimately to the ministry of the Lord Jesus himself, and through the preaching of his gospel, even to the ends of the earth. Jesus proved to be the true Son of David. He did so desiring God to be glorified even amidst his own sufferings, on the brink of his arrest and crucifixion. That is how the Lord Jesus prayed, did he not, in his great high priestly prayer. John 17, verse 1. The Lord Jesus prayed to his Father that the Son may glorify you. Yes, Jesus faced the terrors of the cross, but he did so by taking refuge in the love and faithfulness of his Father, his heart steadfast in God. David here resolves in Psalm 57, verse 9, for God's glory was perfectly achieved in the resurrection and exaltation of Jesus Christ. As David looked forward to all that God would do, David here resolves that God be praised by all the nations, even as he would be exalted in his great work of salvation in his Son Jesus Christ, and that be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. We see in the Old Testament that longing for the Messiah, and that longing was fulfilled in the coming, in the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ, in birth and life and death and resurrection, exaltation, back to the right hand of the Majesty on high, to the praise of God's steadfast love and faithfulness. When David here extols the steadfast love of God, that is great to the heavens, verse 10, he points to that gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the gospel offer of mercy that is still extended to everyone today. Just as God would deliver David from the cave and would ultimately resurrect his own son, Jesus, from the dead, God will be faithful to fulfill his promise of eternal life to everyone who trusts in him. This invites you this morning to glorify God by asking him to save you, to forgive you from your sins, and to receive his great love in his Son, Jesus Christ, and then to know him as the great keeper, the great provider, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And so that brings us in the last place this morning to the glorious exaltation, verses 5 and 11. Psalm 57 urges God to display his glory in the fabric of human history to the ends of the creation. David sang here, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." David sees that the ultimate cause and goal of his salvation is the exaltation of God's glory in all things and to all people. One of the commentators puts it like this. He says, quote, "Hiding as a fugitive in the cave and hiding his soul in God, David is thrilled to know that his own deliverance weaves a portion of an infinitely great tapestry of divine glory that will never end." End quote. David's plea here for God's glory is essentially the same as that of the Apostle Paul, same as that of Paul's vision for the glory of God in and through the Christian church. Paul said that the purpose of history, Ephesians 3:10, is that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. God intends for our grateful, thankful praise in the midst of our earthly trials, even here this morning, to form a display of his glory, even to the very heavens, to the heavenly beings. And so Psalm 57 invites believers to understand their lives as forming part of that great project which spans all of history, in which God is bringing glory to his grace for all eternity. However great or small you may be this morning, Christian, however great your troubles and trials may be, when you hide in God and settle your heart in him, praising him from a grateful, thankful heart, you play that role to which you were called in the great and glorious purpose for which all history exists. David sang, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens," during a period of great trial in his life, as he was sheltered in the cave and hiding in the shadow of God's saving wings. Christian, it is our great privilege to say the same. We must first come to God through faith in Jesus Christ. We must seek shelter in God alone amidst the storm. And then, standing on the foundation of God's word, we join in that same thanksgiving with David, as we say, "By God's grace, my heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast." Might you say that this morning, even with all that is going on around us? My heart is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. May God grant it to each one of us. Amen. Let us all pray. Our Father in heaven, we acknowledge so often that our heart is not steadfast, it is troubled. So often, O Lord, our hearts are filled with fear. We are controlled by our emotions, responding with our feelings to all that goes on around us. Grant us again, O Lord, to know more of that stability and maturity that comes when we are founded, trusting in your word, sheltering under the mighty wings, knowing for a truth of who you are, what you have done, and all of the great benefits that are ours in the great completed saving work of Jesus Christ. Grant that we might say this morning that our heart is steadfast in the Lord our God and his word. And we pray, O Lord, that your glory might be manifested in our lives and be seen in our lives, even by many all around us, and that your glory might be manifest even above the heavens and to the ends of the earth. Hear us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. I'm going to sing to God's praise the hymn Jesus, lover of my soul. Let us sing to the praise of God. People of God, receive the Lord's blessing in his benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Go in the Lord's mercy and grace.